Joining us today, we have members of the Stratford FFA. Becky Workus is here with some of her chapter members. We'll start off with Lexi Osman. Lexi, so how'd you get involved in FFA?
I think one of the older FFA kids asked me one year if I wanted to do it. So, and then my older sister was in it before me, and I always helped out at the dairy breakfast.
So, I figured as long as you're doing your work, you might as well join it, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Justin Briggs also with us. Justin is a freshman, and how did you get involved in FFA?
I got involved because my father, my brother, and my grandfather were all in FFA, so just kind of ran in the family.
A heritage. All right, and then we've got Tristan Workus here with us, and Tristan has been in the FFA all of his life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Becky's son. Tell us how you got involved.
Well, I don't think it's too much of a surprise, but yeah, parental guidance, I guess you could call it.
That's a good choice of words. Lexi, tell us a bit about the greenhouse. A lot of FFA chapters have them, but they vary greatly. What's yours like?
Well, we have a wide variety of plants in there. We just recently had our plant sale.
So now what's planted in it now?
We have the flowers in like the main part.
Okay.
And then in the high tunnel, we grow different vegetables in there.
All right. Do you use the high tunnel all through the summer then?
Yeah.
And now what are the vegetables? You use those in the school lunch program, don't you?
Yeah, so our high tunnel right now, we just started planting vegetables in there, the horticulture class and the exploratory egg science class. And so in spring, we do cool weather crops in there like cabbage and broccoli, cauliflower. And then throughout the spring, the summer, and the fall, we have plants in there, but it's not heated, so we don't have stuff in there during the winter, obviously. And then in our raised beds, we have three raised beds right next to our greenhouse, too. We have plants growing in there already. We transplanted tomatoes and cabbages out there this last weekend. In the greenhouse, we also have hydroponics lettuce set up too. So we've been harvesting romaine lettuce and putting that in the school lunch line as well. Actually, Justin and Tristan were two of the students who helped build the beds. And then they also, the two of them together as middle schoolers, assembled we call it the tool sharing shed. So the chapter purchased this little shed, and they assembled it all and took it out there, and we staked it into the ground, and it's got a lock on it. And inside there are garden equipment like hose and rakes and that kind of stuff, and then watering cans and that sort of thing.
Tristan, along with the community gardens, you're on the tree advisory board.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
So it's a village committee that I serve as a member on, and we meet about once a month or once every 2 months, and we talk about how we can help make our town a better place for trees and just plants as a broader experience to just help them out with how they're living and
so you're looking for places to plant trees where, hey, trees would be good here, or these need to be replaced, things like that?
Yeah, like which type of tree would work best with our climate and where we should plant trees. And then
which is always intriguing me, because, I mean, I just figure it's oak, maple, box elder, and there's a few around here. But there's quite a variety that actually will grow in this area, aren't there?
Yeah.
So how do you decide which ones?
There's like a bunch of keys that we can look at and a lot of history that we can look at to help us decide that.
All right. And Lexi, you're talking a bit about some of the things that kind of tie into this in your community, and that you are part of the Adopt a Highway program, and you do a June dairy breakfast, a lot of things that are involved in Stratford. Tell us about the dairy breakfast.
Okay, so our dairy breakfast is the first Sunday in June. We have pancakes, sausage, then you get like obviously something to drink, and then we get applesauce and cheese curds and
lots of good dairy products, ice cream, milk, Smith Brothers sausage, which is always a big hit. And then we also have a farm tour of Maple Ridge Dairy. So once you're done with the breakfast, you can drive over to Maple Ridge, and they'll give you a farm tour of their farm setup as
which is one of the larger dairy farms in the area. So.
Yes. In the past, too, we've had Nighthawk Dairy, too, has done farm tours for us, too. So it's a great tie to let consumers know where their food comes from, because not as many people are up close and personal with the dairy industry anymore, and especially right now, that's an important tie for people to understand.
Jacob, talk a bit about what do you run into in the hallways at school from the unsuspecting public, from the kids who aren't aware of what the food production system is like out there?
I guess it's just surprised how much they don't know. I know there's a survey in Chicago, and they asked people, where did the milk come from? And they said the store, because they don't know that there's cows and farms behind that. It's just surprising that people just don't know where all their food comes from.
And this is a challenge that you're going to face as you grow older, when, we don't have to worry about this anymore. But what do you see as a way for you as an agriculturalist to present that in the future, to let these people know that this is important, this is where your food comes from?
On our farm, we kind of want people to visit, and whenever someone wants to visit our farm, we always say, you know, come anytime, because we want to show them that, you know, we treat our animals great, and this is where your food comes from. We explain the whole process of, you know, where the milk comes from to how it goes to the cheese plant.
And you brought up an important point, and that is animal welfare, that how you treat your animals, that makes a big difference to you guys.
Yeah, it really does, because a lot of people don't think we treat our animals good, but, you know, if people went on the farm, they'd see our animals love us just as much as we love them.
You know their names, you know their heritage, you know which ones are good and which ones aren't. Becky, talk a bit about, and we've talked about this before, about how your program is so involved in the community, and this is something that you've really amplified in your chapter.
I don't know, I guess agriculture is a great content area to jump in with both feet and just help students develop leadership, you know, leadership skills. And every summer, the high school officers have a officer training that we do. We spend a couple days bonding as a team. And so these guys as officers get together and they say, what do we see in our community as needs? What do we want to be in charge of? Where do they want to make their impact? And then they actually drive. It's very student driven. They actually drive the program that we do. And of course, as middle schoolers, if they were umbrella group leaders for safety day and they got to see the high schoolers presenting, you know, grain safety or outdoor safety or chemical safety, and they're like, that's cool. When I'm in high school, I want to be able to present that station. So they kind of keep these programs going because they've been around them from the time they were middle school up, and they saw what the high schoolers were doing in their leadership skills, and then they wanted to emulate that as well.
Lexi, talk about school, the safety day that you guys put on.
Okay, so safety day we do every spring with the fifth graders, and we take them down to the park, and we have separate stations set up to teach the fifth graders of course, how to be safe throughout the summer, because they're going into middle school and now they're going to be out babysitting. They're going to be going to their friend's house. They're not going to have as much supervision as they typically had earlier on. So we teach them anything from bike safety to fire safety to tractor safety. Even some hunter safety is thrown in there too. It's really interesting to see and hear some of the kids ask different questions, because they really like to learn about all that stuff.
They're sponges at that age, aren't they? They really do. Yeah. Lexi, we talked about, you know, when you first got involved in FFA. Okay, so most join your chapter now as seventh graders, right? That's when they get into the ag classrooms. How do you convince a seventh grader that you need to be in the Stratford FFA?
Well, typically they will take an agricultural class, or sometimes they will see the different events we do and they want to go, oh, I want to do that, or I want to be like that person when I get older. I feel like a lot of our fellow officers are very good role models, and the younger kids look up to them. So once they are at that age where they can join FFA, I feel like they really want to do that.
Tristan, how about you? How do you get that across to a seventh grader that, hey, this is going to take you from the back of the classroom to the front of the classroom?
So some of the things that we do, we just basically show them what it means to be a good leader and how good leaders can exceed above those who may not know what it means to be a good leader.
Becky, so where do you see your classroom 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
Well, interesting thing. Our school just had a big remodel, and I'm so thankful for this remodel. When I started in the classroom, I had basically a storage room, I had an office, and my four walls. That was when I started at Stratford. That was what we had. Well, since I've been there, we added a greenhouse, we added the raised beds, we added the high tunnel. Now, with this remodel that we just had, I now have one part of my room is an actual food prep area. So we have three-stage sanitation sink, we have stove in there, sanitizer. So teaching students actually how to can, you know, pizza sauce and spaghetti sauce and those kinds of things. So when we take things out of the high tunnel, out of the raised beds, actually, now what? Now how do you process this? This is your food, you grew it, how do you process it? Then the other part of my room now has lab sinks. So we're doing agri science experiments and those kinds of things. I have an animal lab, I have an aquaponics lab. So we have a saltwater tank in there for like the marine biology portion of it, but we're working on getting like a 400 gallon fish tank. So students have been doing water testing, even with the saltwater tank that we have. The students got to go through the whole process with me of applying for a fish farm license, because if you're going to raise fish in your classroom, you need a fish farm license.
Really?
Yeah, so we pulled in the USDA part of that. So all of these new things that we've been able to add because of our new facilities, the students have been right there learning through the process of, okay, so if you were going to do this, if you're going to start your own aquaculture business, you have to apply for a fish farm license. So then with that, you have to go on the DNR website and figure out where your water is coming from and if you need a permit for that. So all these processes, I think it really helps students to see these are real-world problems.
Have you ever seen a time where there are such a great collection of opportunities out there for students coming out of your classroom?
I think right now there's such a demand for, good employees in agriculture who have the leadership skills, have the problem solving, have the critical thinking skills, and then another big important piece is have the drive. Like, students need to be self-motivated, and right now in agriculture, the sky is pretty much the limit. There are so many jobs available. When the guest speaker that I had in today was talking about even, in nutrition and genetics, agronomy right now is a huge field. They can't fill those jobs fast enough, but you need to have people who are self-motivated, critical thinkers, who are problem solvers, who don't need someone to tell them, okay, do this next, and who really want to be out there solving problems.
Well, thanks for being here, guys. It was just great. Congratulations on continued success at Stratford and the program you've built up there, and continued success.